Those among us who took communion this weekend spent a brief moment waiting in line to receive that sacrament. What do you think about when you're waiting to take communion? Sure, it's a personal question, and I'll let you know my personal thoughts once upon a time. When I was confirmed and began receiving the sacrament, my thoughts in the communion line were something of a fear. My thoughts fixated on not receiving the sacrament unworthily, a fear tied to my understanding of this passage. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It took me a while to sort out everything and realize a few things about the sacrament. First of all, repentance is very important, not to be taken lightly when going to the Lord's Supper. And certainly, communion should not be received casually or carelessly or ignorantly, because it is possible to receive it in judgment. Now, all that being true, all that being said, the sacrament is still meant to be the good news that brings comfort and strength and joy in the form of bread and wine, which do bring us the body and blood of Christ, and so much more. Saturday evening, my thoughts in the communion line at Messiah were fixed on a passage that I've been discussing recently with the SEM students. I'd like to share it today. Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. If you spend any time at all working a part-time job, then you understand verse 4, the merit system. You know how this goes. You work so many hours doing the job you're hired to do, and the boss owes you specific wages that you could easily calculate with a mathematical formula. When the paycheck comes, no one would call that a gift. You earned it. Now, the merit system applies beyond the workplace to things like school, where you earn your grades. What about here, this venue, our encounter with God on the basis of His Word, how we deal with Him and how He deals with us? Does the merit system apply here? Part of us, the sinful nature part, wants to say yes. It's really a contradiction and a vicious cycle that I want to explain to you. On the one hand, your flesh still wants to sin, fight God for everything, go contrary to His will, and also have the other side of it, a mistaken notion that, oh, okay, we'll make amends. We'll make up for it. We'll work off those black marks against us. That is the thinking of your sinful nature, even after conversion. So, for the Christian heart, your believing heart, this is a problem that does not go away over time. Does this sound familiar? Let's listen to what I have to say. As you learn more and more from the Bible, what kind of attitudes we're supposed to have as the followers of Christ, what kind of behavior God expects you and me to exhibit, don't we discover even more sins that we have done that we didn't realize before? Sins like pride, carelessness, negligence, laziness, and so many others. God has laid out for us a definitive path of progress and growth for our Christian lives, becoming more Christ-like in our behavior. As we heard in chapel last week, more compassionate to each other, more fearless in our witness to the world. But what's the reality here? Honesty compels us to say, I blew it again. We sinned again. We are still unworthy. Now let's take that realization even further. When you look in the mirror of God's law, and I'm talking about more than a glance, when you scrutinize every black mark that's coming back as the reflected image, it's not a pretty picture. Our text has one word for it: ungodly. It's a strong word. It's an accurate word. But here's the thing. If you agree with this assessment of yourself, if you are willing to say that it's true, you are ungodly, then you're ready for verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. No, here we get to throw out the merit system, don't we? The system of grace applies in your encounter with God. And this is no arbitrary thing. God does not pretend that our sins did not happen. God does not pretend that our sins don't matter. Oh, they matter. They offend His holiness and require His justice, which is so unique because God can do what a judge can't do in a human court. God takes every black mark, all the ungodliness of you and me, and He puts it on Christ, who accepts the full blame and then pays for it all, with the result that it counts as though you paid for it all. That's good news. And then when God hands down His verdict, He is looking at Jesus. When He says about every ungodly person worldwide, not guilty, perfectly righteous. This is a fact established by Christ, which does not depend on how you live or even on whether you believe. God justifies the ungodly, period. And that makes it certain. Now, we don't want to steer towards universalism here. Yes, you need faith. Your faith does matter. But thanks to the fact I just mentioned that Scripture has, your faith has something solid to grab hold of. You don't believe first and then you're forgiven. God offers you forgiveness up front. And by faith, you take the gift. This is not a hand grabbing a paycheck. A hand taking a gift. This upfront fact of your forgiveness in Christ, our justification because of Him, His righteousness serving as our righteousness all the time, that will be your certainty of God's love and acceptance at all times, and your assurance of eternal life as the future promised to you. It will likewise be the open door of your prayers heard and answered by God, and your incentive and power to follow whatever His Word tells you. Please, for your own sake, do not treat lightly or become tired of the gospel, the cross of Christ, as it's going to get the spotlight once again during this season of Lent. No, let's do the opposite and make it our daily anthem. The number one value on our list of values. The most treasured gift from God that trumps all the others. Amen. We close today singing hymn 297, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6 of hymn 297.